Kathy Davidson. I'd like you to join me and the ministers of music from Water of Life Church here in Plano, Texas, as we minister the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, which is the power of God. Before I begin, I'd like to invite you to my website, www.kdwol.com. Cats KD, as in Kathy Davidson, W-O-L, as in Water of Life, where you can listen again to these programs. Download the music you hear free of charge or view my video broadcasts. That is www.kdwol.com. You can also watch Doyle Davidson, the ministers of music, and me on Lacine Network World Harvest Television, Sundays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. If you have DirecTV, that is on channel 367. If you have Dish Network, you will find us on channel 217. For other television stations, please check my website. God chose Saul. What was he? A blasphemer, a persecutor. That is grace. Our God is gracious, and he loves to show his mercy to the vilest and the worst of men. There was a notable character in the town in which Smith Wigglesworth lived who was known as the worst man in town. He was so vile, and his language was so horrible, that even wicked men could not stand him. In England in that day, they had what was known as the public hangman, who had to perform all the executions. This man held that appointment, and he told Smith later that he believed that when he performed the execution of men who had committed murder, that the demon power that was in them would come upon him, and in that consequence he was possessed with a legion of demons. His life was so miserable that he purposed to make an end of it. He went down to a certain depot and purchased a ticket. The English trains in those days were very much different from the American. In every coach there were a number of small compartments, and it was easy for anyone who wanted to commit suicide to open the door of his compartment and throw himself out of the train. This man purposed to throw himself out of the train in a certain tunnel just as the train coming from the opposite direction would be about to dash past, and he thought that this would make a quick end of his life. But there was a young man at the depot that night who had been saved the night before. He was all on fire to get others saved and purposed in his heart that every day of his life he would get someone saved. He saw this dejected hangman and began to speak to him about his soul. He brought him down to the mission where Smith Wigglesworth ministered. And there that man came under a mighty conviction of sin. For 2.5 hours, he was literally sweating under conviction, and you could see a vapor rising up from him. At the end of 2.5 hours, he was graciously saved. Smith said, "Lord, tell me what to do." The Lord said, "Don't leave him. Go home with him." Smith went to his house. When the man saw his wife, he said, "God has saved me." The wife broke down, and she too was graciously saved. There was a difference in that home. Even the cat knew there was a difference. There were 2 sons in that house, and one of them said to his mother, "Mother, what is up with our house? It was never like this before. It is so peaceful. What is it?" She told him, "Father has been saved." The other son was struck with the same thing. Smith Wigglesworth took this man to many special services, and the power of God was on him for many days. He would give his testimony, and as he grew in grace, he desired to preach the gospel. He became an evangelist, and hundreds were brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through his ministry. The grace of God is sufficient for the vilest, and he can take the most wicked men and make them monuments of his grace. He did this with Saul of Tarsus, at the very time he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He did it with Barry the hangman. He will do it for hundreds more, and he will do it for you, if you ask. I have a great song just right for this, sung here by Chico Holiday, "Amazing Grace, Yesterday."
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved But now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Yesterday, when I was young, the taste of life was sweet as rain upon my tongue. I teased at life as if it were a foolish game, the way the evening breeze may tease a candle flame. The game of life I played with arrogance and pride, and every flame I lit too quickly, quickly died. I lived by night and shunned the naked light of day, and only now I see how time has run away. Yesterday, when I was young, so many drinking songs were waiting to be sung. So many wayward pleasures lay in store for me, and so much pain my dazzled eyes refused to see. I ran so fast that time and youth ran out. I never stopped to think what life was all about. And every conversation I can now recall concerned itself with me and nothing else at all. Yesterday, the moon was blue, and every crazy day brought something new to do. The friends I made all seemed somehow to drift away, and only I am left on stage to end the play. There are so many songs in me that won't be sung. The time has come for me to pay for yesterday when I was young. Amazing grace, how saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Thank you, Jesus. Was blind, but now I see, and I thank you, Lord, for now I see.
Months I have been speaking to you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And today I'm going to take that and I'm going to show you what to do with it. Let's go to Romans 1, 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Notice it says, Paul is speaking, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth,
to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Like I said, we've been talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. How Jesus was in the garden, how he went to the cross, how he was crucified and every bone was out of joint, how he took on our sin and our sickness, our poverty, our perversities, how he died, how he was buried in the tomb, how his body saw no corruption, and how God raised him from the dead. And now that we know that, what do we do? What do we do? Well, Paul here says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God. That gospel that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again is the power of God unto salvation. That's what we're after. We're after the power. Now, turn with me to 1 Corinthians. What exactly is the gospel? When I was in the Methodist church and when I went to some charismatic churches, I wanted to believe God. I did. I had a desire to see God in my life. But you know what? It was like I didn't know what to hang on to. I didn't know what to cling to. I didn't know what to stand on. I didn't know exactly what to stand on. I noticed that when I would go to some churches, they would give you this long list of the stuff that they believed. Long list. But you know what? It never produced much. It's like you'd look at all of it, and it just didn't produce anything. It's like, well, what am I supposed to stand on? Well, Paul tells us what to stand on. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Paul declared the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. Notice, Paul said, what do you stand in? You stand in the gospel. Amen. I've talked to people, and they have said, and I've asked them, I said, what do you believe? And you know what I would get? Well, I believe Jesus. Well, what about Jesus? What about Jesus do you believe? You know, they couldn't tell me. They couldn't tell me what they were standing on. Paul right here tells us what to stand on. He said, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. Hallelujah. Notice he said he's brought to us the gospel. He said, I declare unto you the gospel which you stand on, by which also you are saved. Saved. You know that word saved is an all-inclusive word? You know, it means to be born again. It means to be healed. It means to have prosperity. It means to have all your sins forgiven and justified. It means all those things. Anything you need from God, that is being saved. And where does it come from? Paul said, I declare unto you the gospel. Verse 2, by which also you are saved, if, whoa, look at that word. If, did you know the word ifs in the Bible? If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Did you know there's an if? Do you know what that does to your once saved, always saved? I'm born again, it doesn't matter what I do. Do you know that little word, that two-letter word, just blew that right out of the water. If. Hallelujah. If you keep in memory. So now we know whatever that gospel is, we got to keep it in memory. You got to keep it. You got to keep it unless you have believed in vain. Now, Paul tells us exactly what to stand on, exactly what to cling to. It'll be your rock. And here is that rock. For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received. Paul received it first. How? That Christ died for our sins according to the gospel. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So what is the gospel? The gospel is that Jesus died and he was buried and he rose again. That is your rock. That is what you can stand on. That is what you can cling to. That is the anchor you look to. And you know what? It works. It works. Now, let's go one more verse. I want, before we go to Isaiah, 1 Corinthians 2. Amen. Paul's talking to the Corinthians. He said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. Amen. declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now notice here what Paul says. This is the apostle to us Gentiles. And what does Paul say? He said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I chose to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Do you notice he didn't come with that long list of all the stuff we had to believe? He said, I chose to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Him crucified. And what is that crucified? Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again. That is the gospel. That is what you stand in. Now, let's go to Isaiah 53. What do we stand in? What does that gospel entail? Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed our report? Who has believed it? Right here, now, it tells you what to believe in. Who has believed our report? The writer of Isaiah is saying, who has believed our report? Now, here is the report. You know what that report is? That Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again. That's what we're standing in. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That's Jesus. Let's go down to verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs, that word is sickness, and carried our sorrows, that word is also means pain. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Jesus was wounded on the cross for our sins, our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And this next part, the chastisement of our peace, the chastisement, the correction, the punishment, the correction for our peace was upon Jesus. You know what that word peace means? That word peace is shalom. It means prosperity. It means peace. It means welfare. It means friendship. It means, do you hear me? It means prosperity. It means your welfare. Your welfare, the chastisement of your welfare was put on Jesus. That's a whole lot better welfare than a government can give you. The chastisement of our peace, our welfare, our prosperity was on the body of Jesus when he was put on the cross. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Who has believed our report? Who has believed that this is what Jesus did? Who has believed our report? Now that we know this, what do we do with it? Well, I have a beautiful illustration of what God did with me to teach me how to believe. How to believe. What does it mean to believe? You know, I'd heard that word so many times going through the charismatic church that the word became empty. It was like I couldn't understand what it meant. The word believes means to cling to have confidence in, to hang on to have that, to have faith in. That's what it means to believe. Well, there was a situation, it was back in, I think, in 1990, where I had been with this ministry 6 years, and I had been taught the gospel, and God was giving me the revelation of it. And he put me in a grocery store as a sign maker. And that grocery store job, that job as a sign maker, I was paid by the hour. And what I would do is I would go into the store, and I designed a form that the different departments in the grocery store could fill out about what signs they needed for that week. You know, when you go into a grocery store here in the U.S., you have different specials of the week, and I would make the signs for the specials. Now, if there are a lot of signs, I spent a lot of time, and I made money. If there weren't a lot of signs, I didn't spend a lot of time, and I didn't make a lot of money. I want to say a verse right here now. Paul said, if you don't work, you don't eat. You need a job. And you know what? When God says, if you don't work, you don't eat, you know what God is required to do? He's required to give you a job. Amen. He's required to. Go get it. Now, I had this job. I determined that day, all right, this has to work. This gospel has to work in my life. It has to. And as I drove my car to that grocery store, I was talking to myself. I was preaching myself the gospel. I said, you know what? The chastisement of Jesus, the chastisement of my peace was on the body of Jesus. Jesus became poor that I might be rich. I said, he died, he was buried, he rose again for me. He bore my poverty on his body. I said that all the way going into my job. I parked the car at the end of the parking lot. I walked all through the parking lot into the grocery store. And I kept telling myself, I am going to look at nothing but that Jesus died. He was buried. He rose again. The chastisement of my peace, the correction for my prosperity was on the body of Jesus. He became poor that I might be rich. Said that all the way into the store. Said it all the way through the store. Went to the back of the store, went up the stairs. Thank God the stairs to my office, the offices upstairs were enclosed so nobody could see me. I spoke to myself and I prayed the whole way. Father, you know, Jesus died for me. He was buried for me. He rose again for me. He bore my poverty on his body. He became poor that I might be rich. Walked upstairs, got my clipboard, looked in my box to see how many signs managers had for me. There weren't very many. In fact, I think there was I remember a page that somebody tore off of a paper bag and wrote a couple signs on for me to do. Took my clipboard. I said, you know what? I'm not looking at this. I am looking that Jesus died on the cross for me. He bore my poverty. He was buried. He rose again. I walked downstairs. I went through the departments. The first one I went to the front end. They hardly had any signs and they didn't have any that day. I walked over to the deli department. I think he had one. Bologna, 99 cents or something like that. I don't remember, but I remember writing it down. I said, I'm not looking at this. I'm looking at the cross. I'm looking at Jesus. I went to the bakery. Sometimes the bakery, they would have this like Cake-O-Rama thing, and they would have all these signs they needed and a big paper banner. So I walked over there. Got any signs for me today? Nope, don't have any. All right, I'm not looking at this. I said, I'm not looking at this. I'm looking at Jesus died. He was buried. He rose again for me. I went to the produce department. Now, the produce department had the most signs in the store. The whole south end of the store was one big sign after another. Signs are about this big, 18 by 24. Took a lot of work to do. And then they had all these tables with signs around them, and those were about this size, and they needed a lot of work. But it was the same every time. I go to the produce manager, I say, need any signs done by me this week? And he would look at me, and he goes, Kathy, you know I do my own signs. I don't want you doing my signs. I do my signs. Leave me alone. Okay? Walked around to the meat department. Got any signs? I think there was just a couple there. Went to the drug department. I went to the grocery department. I went to the frozen food department. I ended up going to every department. I think there was like 9 or 10. I looked at my clipboard. It wasn't even half a page. On a good day, there were pages. Half a page. You know what? I stood in the store in the middle of the drug department. I looked at that. I said, I'm not looking at you. I am not looking at this clipboard. I am looking that Jesus bore my poverty on the cross. I am looking that he was poor that I might be rich. And I said that the whole way back to my office. And I said that going up the stairs. And I said, Father, you sent Jesus. He bore my poverty. He bore the chastisement for my peace, for my welfare. And I need some money. Amen. I said, I refuse to look at this clipboard. I know that's a lot of talking, but boy, I needed it. I put it on my table. I used to use big cans of ink. It would have three markers. One would be about this size, one about this size, and a little guy. I started my signs. I said, I refuse to look at the situation. I said, Jesus was poor that I might be rich. And I started making the signs. I was almost finished. There was a call over the intercom. Kathy, it was Bruce, our manager. Loved that guy. He was my height. They called him Napoleon. But boy, he could run that store. He said, Kathy, I want you to meet me in the produce department. Fine, got my clipboard, headed downstairs. As I was walking into the produce department, I saw the two men standing there, our store manager and the produce manager, and neither one of them had a happy face on. Neither one of them was happy. And I walked up and I said, hello. And he said, Kathy? He didn't even say hello. He said, Kathy? And he turned around. He said, you see all the signs along that wall? I said, yes, sir. He said, I want you to redo every one of them. He said, and you see all the signs around that table? I said, yes, sir. He said, I want you to do every one of them. And he looked at me and he goes, and I want you to do every single sign in this produce department from now on. Do you hear me? I said, yes, sir. And you know that produce manager? Not a happy man. The manager, Bruce, walked off in one direction, and the produce manager walked off in another direction. And you know what this girl did? She spent hours doing those signs. You know why? Because the gospel is that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. You know how that worked? Turn with me to Romans 3. I'll show you what happened. When I refused to look at anything else, when I refused to look how bad it was, this verse came to pass. Romans 3, verse 7. For the truth of God, the truth of God, what is the truth? The truth is the gospel that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. That's the truth. For the truth of God has more abounded through my lie. What was my lie? That I was poor and there weren't going to be any signs to do. That was the lie. What did the truth of God do when I stuck to that and didn't look at the situation? It abounded through that lie, and the power of God worked. That's how you believe. You don't need 6 steps or 15 steps to faith. You believe. You look at the gospel and you don't look at the situation and you don't look at your feelings. Because did I feel rich that day? No. No. But the truth of God abounded through that lie and it produced the signs.
Thank you for joining Kathy Davidson and the Ministers of Music from Water of Life Church. She would love to hear from you. You may reach her by email at kd@kdwol.com, or you may write her at Kathy Davidson, care of Water of Life Church, Post Office Box 861-327, Plano, Texas 75086. You may find her on the internet at www.kdwol.com. And on Facebook and Twitter. Until next time, God bless.